Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
Talk Radio Countdown.
I was shocked. I expected him to receive a very stiff penalty, as I did with Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, just based off what you were hearing out of the league office. I did not expect a full year. But when you consider that they just suspended Greg Williams, who, by the way, is now the Rams' defensive coordinator, so the Rams are penalized in this as well. Indefinitely, Greg Williams is indefinite. You know, I mean, he's missing this whole season. Then his situation will be reviewed. Well, then, you know, Sean Payton, who is the ultimate supervisor over the football team, was already identified as being fully aware of the program and doing nothing about it. I guess we shouldn't be as shocked as we are, but to miss a full season as the head coach, these penalties, when you look across the board, and we haven't even gotten to the player penalties yet, are truly unprecedented. And if they were meant to set a statement of deterrence to the rest of the league, then I think Roger Goodell, who's been often described as having a heavy hand, just delivered not a hammer, but a sledgehammer.
That's ESPN's Chris Mortensen reacting to the punishment the NFL handed down to the New Orleans Saints in response to their bounty program, offering cash incentives to their players for particularly aggressive hits. So sports talk, including bounty gain at the NFL and Major League Baseball spring training, number 10 this week in the countdown. I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome in to our overview of what's going on in the world of chat talk radio. A lot of hot things going on for the week ending Friday, the 23rd of March. We'll be reviewing the top 10 hits in talk radio as determined by the staff at Talkers Magazine. You can find them at talkers.com with lots of info on what's going on in the talk radio industry. This week, the New Orleans Saints bounty program, number 10, as I said. Number 9 on the countdown also has to do with sports, the trade of Tim Tebow to New Jersey. Here are our hosts, Boomer Esiason and Craig Carlton, talking to Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum about the fine print that almost nixed the deal.
How is it possible that you guys were unaware or caught with your pants down that part of the contract for Tebow included a $5 million payback to the Denver Broncos?
Sure. If you want to start there, obviously we had reached agreement in principle with them. We had obviously had a lot of internal discussions, looked at the contract multiple times, and when we had reached agreement in principle on our very initial trade papers that we sent to the Denver Broncos, we had addressed all the issues in the contract, how we wanted to handle it, including the salary advances and all the other things that we would put in trade papers. When we had reached an agreement in principle, we did announce it because as there are, as we've done countless other times, there's still details to work out. And we had addressed each and every one of those details in our initial trade papers that we had sent to them. When they received it, they obviously had a disagreement on how those clauses would be handled. And obviously it was a disagreement that we couldn't solve initially. And Denver, I can't emphasize this enough, was well within their rights to assess all their alternatives, which they did for, you know, the better part of the day yesterday. Obviously, we kept dialogue open throughout the day. We had good communication. We had a disagreement. And then by the end of the day, guys, you know, we found a landing spot that, you know, we could live with and felt was good for the team.
You know, Mike, you're talking about these salary advances. Are these things that obviously have a negative implication on the salary cap? Is that not true?
No question. And knowing that and looked at the contract the way we had, we knew it had to be addressed. And again, we put that in our initial papers that we do anytime we make a trade and we draft trade papers, guys. Again, without getting too technical, we put in, you know, how all those things are going to be handled. Obviously, the other team reviews it. And typically, you know, you say you have an agreement in principle and then you work out all the details.
Yeah, but it was weird, Mike. So you're saying you knew about the $5 million thing. You didn't want to pay it. But yet you announced that you had a deal. Those two things don't go hand in hand.
Right. Again, Craig, because we were comfortable announcing that we had reached an agreement in principle, as we have other times, because you have to put all these things in writing, and we had an exact vision on how we were going to handle all these clauses. And it was in our initial papers that we had sent to them. When they got our papers, that's when the disagreement came to the surface.
Okay, up next, Facebook passwords, Iran nukes, and the GOP budget, all in the focus here on the weekly Talk Radio Countdown Show.
March is National Nutrition Month, and as such, General Mills is reminding people of the importance of whole grain. The dietary guidelines recommend choosing products with whole grain listed as the first ingredient, but it can be hard to know how to find whole grain in the grocery store. Here's Marilyn Werner, registered dietitian and senior nutrition scientist at the General Mills Bell Institute of Health and Nutrition.
While the front of the food package does provide nutritional cues, shoppers need to look at the ingredient list on the side of the box in order to get the real scoop on how much of each ingredient is actually in the product. You should make sure that the word whole is listed first and is followed by a grain, like oats. An easy place to find whole grain is in the cereal aisle. More than 50 cereals with the white check, including Cheerios, Lucky Charms, and Total, now have more whole grain than any other single ingredient with the same great taste. They also highlight the grams of whole grain per serving on the side of the box.
For more information on the benefits of whole grain, visit WholeGrainNation.com.
The Department of Defense commemorates the 60th anniversary of the Korean War. We are proud to present the following stories of those who served when their nation called. U.S. Air Force Airman Second Class John LaPlante, 543rd Ammunition Supply Squadron.
And I went to Busan, and that was nothing but poverty at the time. And when I went back in 2009, I went to where I'd been stationed, and today, no more airbase, no more ammunition dump, it's a resort. First Class A resort. To see what the country had become in 57 years at that time since I'd been there, it was just overwhelming. You know, not that I'm a hero, all I did was drive a truck. But we did our job.
See more hero stories at KoreanWar.defense.gov.
Hi, I'm Julie Bowen, asking you to walk with me in March for Babies. Too many children in our country are being born prematurely or with birth defects. They have to fight to survive every day, but you can make a difference. Your steps in March for Babies can help them take their first steps. Visit marchforbabies.org to start your team and raise money to ensure that babies are born healthy. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
Gardeners trust Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed to feed plants right. Plants need food, especially veggies. Lately, another company's been saying their plant food feeds twice as long as Shake and Feed. What they aren't saying? Their plant food actually feeds less. So we're saying it. Shake and Feed provides 72% more nutrition per application and is more in line with university recommendations for feeding many popular veggies. Hey, if we can save even one veggie, it'll be worth it. Miracle-Gro Shake and Feed. Everyone grows with Miracle-Gro.
Talk Radio in Review. We do 2 hours during the week and 3 hours on the weekend. Number 8 on the item list is the Facebook password situation. Here's host Joel Riley with technology expert Greg Stebbin. They talk about the increasing number of businesses that want the password to your Facebook page if you want a job with them.
Potential employers and employees all at odds this morning over Facebook, huh?
Yeah, and I'm going to read you some headlines from Forbes.com. And when Forbes.com is printing headlines like these, you can figure what I'm about to describe is already happening and is an accepted business principle.
Okay.
Headline number one, Facebook can tell you if a person is worth hiring.
Huh.
Oh, what's the flip side of that? Facebook can tell you if a person is not worth hiring.
There you go.
Now think about Dolly. What have I put up on my Facebook wall lately? headline number two, should it be illegal for employers to check job applicants' Facebook profile? Well, try and pass that law and then try and enforce it would be my perspective as a tech guy.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that it's what it's going to do ultimately is drive people away from Facebook.
Maybe. I would say that if you're smart and listening right now, take advantage of this heads up and do the following. Google yourself. Notice what pops up first, which is probably Facebook and Twitter if you have an account, and and LinkedIn if you have an account, and other social media. And then go look at all of those pages about yourself that you have created and ask yourself, what would be my impression of this if I was about to hire me? Or have I posted a lot of pictures of myself partying, and would that go over well with my job or a prospective employer? And maybe partying is part of your job description. Maybe it's not. And you may say, it's not fair that they should base their hiring decisions on what I post on Facebook. But It's Not Fair will not help you get a job, but it could prevent you from getting one.
Up to number seven on the countdown, what's happening this week in Iran? Here's host John Gambling with Congressman Peter King of New York about some of these spies, the story of Iranian spies appearing to be doing some kind of surveillance in New York.
This is not news that is news this morning that came out of your committee yesterday about Iranians that are here as part of a mission to the United Nations and other situations, taking pictures of stuff in New York City.
Yeah, first of all, as far as New York, we had Mitch Silver from the NYPD testify. There have been at least five or six instances in New York where there was definite appears to be definite reconnaissance operations being carried out by Iranian forces. For instance, there was photographing down at the heliport in Lower Manhattan where the president's helicopter lands. There's been photographing in the subway, you know, the mass transit systems, subway systems in the city. But in addition to that, and this was uncontested at the hearing yesterday, it was acknowledged, there are at least, we know of hundreds of Hezbollah operatives in this country. They've been here for a number of years. Up till now, they've been focusing on raising money, not carrying out terrorist operations for the most part. But a number of them are skilled. They have been trained by Hezbollah in paramilitary tactics. And the concern now is, as the situation heats up in the Middle East between Israel and Iran and between the United States and Iran as far as sanctions, would Iran make them operational? Would they make these operatives operational in a terrorist sense? And the reason why the government, our government, is very concerned is because, as we know, the Iranians did plan to assassinate the Saudi ambassador in Washington, D.C. by blowing up the restaurant and killing hundreds of Americans.
Number six on the countdown this week is the new GOP budget plan. From Fox, Brett Baer talked to Obama advisor David Axelrod about why the Dems have been unable to come up with and pass their own budget, but we're right there to criticize the GOP.
How do you think Paul Ryan's budget will play in the general election?
It's interesting that you ask it that way, because the question is it an election document? I think it probably is. The Ryan budget, this version of the Ryan budget, Ryan 2.0, is not all that different than the last Ryan budget, and the objections to it are the same. Governor Romney heartily endorsed it today, so there'll be a real debate, and it'll be a healthy debate about which way we want to go as a country.
Why haven't Senate Democrats passed a budget resolution in 1,040 days?
Well, I think you understand the dynamics in the Senate, Brett. And, you know, there are lots of things that we haven't been able to pass over the course of the last 3 years. And,
yeah,
and a lot of that to do with procedural.
It doesn't take 60 votes. It takes 51.
Understand. But we've got deep divisions in the Congress between the House and the Senate. That's complicated our ability to get these things done. And one hope is that when we win this election, that there'll be a greater spirit of cooperation moving forward.
You know, people sit at home and say, I have to do a budget. I have to do a budget about my family spending. Why can't Senate Democrats do a budget if they control the Senate and they need 51 votes to put it through?
Because they also don't have to deal with a theater of politics in making their budgets. We obviously have to budget, and we do budget, and deal with our budgetary challenges. The president has cut domestic spending, discretionary spending, by $1.2 trillion in order to accommodate the budget and the demands of our budget. And we're going to continue to do the things to live within our means while still moving our economy forward.
Up next, updates on that school killing in France and the killing in Florida on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com. In a coming apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back in. We have the item that's number five this week on the countdown, those school killings in France. Here are hosts Bill Handel and Gary Hoffman talking about the terrorist who held local police at bay for 30 hours before jumping out the window and falling to his death.
We were talking about that Islamic jihadist gunman who shot three paratroopers to death, three Jewish school children, and a rabbi, killed 10 people. In over 10 days, killed 7 people. He admitted it. There was no issue. And, 30 hours was the standoff or more, Hoffman?
32.
It was, one of those things that I'm sure was carried live in France and picked up by almost every news organization around the world, if not in real time, certainly stories about it. And he killed himself, like we talked that he was probably going to do. But he did it in a very interesting way. He didn't shoot himself. He jumped out of a window, third-story window, and I've heard that he was shooting the whole time.
On the way down?
That's...
So was it the fall that killed him, or was he shot dead?
No, I think it was the fall. It would have been the fall, because... Yeah, moving target. You know, it could be one of the cops had just gone to a carnival and had shot those moving targets and wanted
to practice.
And
yeah,
exactly.
Excellent practice.
Just wanted to practice that as he was going down. Or he thought it was skeet shooting.
Number four in the countdown, the Stand Your Ground shooting in Florida that really has people upset. Here are our hosts, Todd Feinberg and Tom Finneran, with a conversation about the Florida law. It seems it doesn't apply to this shooting of an unarmed teenager.
The law that is the underpinning of the shooting controversy down in Florida.
Ooh.
There's this thing called the Stand Your Ground law that 21 states have.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand. The accusation is that the reason there was no arrest of George Zimmerman, in this case the guy who did the shooting, is because police said, based on this Stand Your Ground law, they had no grounds for pressing charges. And I don't understand that. What the law seems to say, well, here's what the New York Times wrote about it yesterday. It gives the benefit of the doubt to a person who claims self-defense, regardless of whether the killing takes place on a street, in a car, or in a bar, not just in one's home, the standard cited in more restrictive laws. In Florida, people feel they are in imminent danger from being killed or badly injured. They do not, even if it would seem reasonable to do so, they have a right to stand their ground and protect themselves.
As long as they are not engaged in
unlawful activity.
And that's the big thing that nobody seems to be considering when they use that excuse and blame the law. There was plenty of reason to invest. First of all, whenever anybody gets murdered in a situation in which there's no reason to think anybody should be getting murdered, wouldn't you do an investigation?
You would think.
You would listen to the 911 tapes. You would hear that this guy who supposedly was the aggressor was screaming help, apparently, in the background. And you'd say, geez, it looks like we have plenty of room here to pursue charges regardless of stand your ground. So I don't understand. Are people just trying to hijack this killing to attack a law they don't like already? Is that the big opening that Al Sharpton and others are jumping into here? Or is it just a race thing and people love to be able to stomp on the racial divide?
I think it's a race thing, and I think it's all about racial divide, and I think there are ample grounds on both sides, and this is what unfortunately what pulls people into kind of the cyclone.
The political circles that they run in.
Well, it's a political cyclone, and it's a social and a cultural cyclone. I think most folks, and I mentioned this yesterday, even Jesse Jackson, at nighttime you see three or four black kids walking along with the hoodies on and everything else, and Jesse Jackson himself is the guy who said it, so I'm just quoting Jesse. He's much more comfortable seeing three white kids at night walking along the sidewalk than he is three black kids.
So the Stand Your Ground shooting, number 4. Let's recap. The New Orleans Saints bounty program is number 10. Number 9, the Tim Tebow trade. In the beginning of the baseball season, right around the corner. Facebook password is number 8. Iran is number 7. GOP budget plan is 6. The France school shooting is number 5. Stand Your Ground shooting in Florida, number 4. So that leaves us with the numbers 3, 2, and 1. And they'll be coming up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. Beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma. Or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Join March for Babies to help make her steps possible. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
My report is about Alexandra Scott. She opened a lemonade stand to raise money to fight cancer.
Lemonade.
Her friends all over the country wanted to help. They raised over $1 million. Before Alex died of her own cancer, life gave Alex a lemon, but she made lemonade.
Inspiration.
Lemonade.
Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Go to sportsauthority.com and get your family geared up head to toe for sports indoors and out. From cleats to running shoes to hiking boots, and from team sports to treadmills to camping gear. SportsAuthority.com has 95,000 products from brands like Nike, Under Armour, The North Face, and more. Whatever your family's needs are, not only have we got just the thing, we've got thousands of just the things to choose from. You'll find colors and sizes galore, and almost everything ships for only $2.99. SportsAuthority.com. All things sporting good.
I've got stuff to do. I can't let pain get in the way. But I can turn to Advil for tough pain relief, Advil PM for relief of nighttime pain and sleeplessness, and Thermacare for long-lasting back pain relief. They're my partners in fighting tough pain. So I can walk the dog, I can take the kids to the park, I can do the things I want. Look for Advil, Advil PM, and Thermacare at your neighborhood drugstore or food store. Use these products as directed. With the right relief, I can keep going.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include micro plant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Rolling along with our Talk Radio Review, the week ending Friday the 23rd of March is in the focus. And thanks to Talkers.com for all this information. What are you paying for gasoline? Talk host Brian Schimming here, talking to one of his callers about how we seem to love to have somebody to blame for these skyrocketing prices on gasoline.
How are you today, sir?
Oh, fine. Thanks, Brian. Yeah, I get this when I watch Bill O'Reilly or other people. You know, they're always the evil speculators.
Yeah, okay? Yeah, yes.
I mean, it's the thing. You know, we ought to be grateful for speculators because, you know, they anticipate the problems with supply and demand or the lack thereof. And what we would probably have if we didn't have speculators and free enterprise like that is terrible gluts. Or rationing.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Because they know what's coming, or at least they give us the best guess at what's coming.
But we love our boogeymen, don't we, Monty? We love having someone to blame, to grab, to say it's their fault. We do kind of love that, don't we? We love to have someone to blame. We love to have somebody to say it's their fault. I don't know. We're so into that. And, you know, we can all fall prey to that at different points. But I don't know. That's frustrating to me. That is very, very frustrating to me. And yet, again, we're doing it to ourselves. I mean, if you want to embrace alternative energy, I'm actually fine with that. I mean, I'm not, believe me, I don't have any use for the oil companies. I don't have any relatives to work for them. I don't have any clients or oil companies. I mean, I don't have skin in this game. And for me, if it moves my car down the street, I'm fine with that. So I'm not defending the status quo. But what I am trying to do is say, look, the stranglehold that's out there right now is self-inflicted. It's what we're doing to ourselves. It's not some rich oil guy floating around, you know, off the Keys on his yacht. It's just not. That's not what it's about. If he's got money, he wants to make more of it. So let's not get ourselves here, all right?
Talk host Jay Morris, Jim McKinney, and Sean Patrick talked about a plan from T. Boone Pickens that would almost instantly and dramatically increase the supply of oil and gas in this country.
T. Boone Pickens, one of his pieces of his plan, mm-hmm. is to move all of these 18-wheelers that we see mm-hmm. riding up and down the street mm-hmm. over to natural gas.
Oh, really?
He thinks that, and what that does is, that, of course, then increases the supply that we'd use for cars with that same gasoline. Well, so his thought process very much is, hey, look, why don't we look at this? Why don't we try to make this into something using compressed natural gas? It would reduce the dependence on foreign oil. It would reduce having to dip into our reserves. It would increase. Again, you go back to remember my mantra here. You know, what can the president really do? In the end, he can be a great PR guy.
Mm-hmm.
He can always hang above the heads of these speculators. Hell, there's more supply. There's always more supply. We may drill some more. Or we may just go to condensed natural gas with all of these 18-wheelers, and suddenly there is a supply. Suddenly you could use this as a really big bargaining chip when you're talking about speculators.
I'm seeing jobs.
I don't know so much about jobs. I'm looking at the price of gas.
But you have to have people converting these engines over. Jobs.
Somebody told me it's not that difficult. Somebody told me that it's actually relatively easy.
If I'm not mistaken, there have been several school districts that have had buses that have run either on natural gas or propane, one of the two. And then the other thing is, I think there are a couple of Metro Transit buses
mm-hmm.
in the Kalamazoo area
mm-hmm.
that actually run on natural gas or propane, one of the two. And I know they're different, but still, if it's that easy, if it's easy enough to convert, then yeah, let's convert them. Let's go.
There's 8 million of these 18-wheelers to convert.
I realize that, but here's the thing. Here's the fun part of this. How much does natural gas cost? Like per, what is it? Something cubic foot?
I don't know.
So?
I couldn't tell you.
And who has more natural gas than any other state in the Union?
I believe it's us.
We do.
I believe very much.
In fact, I believe we have enough natural gas in our storage in storage underground and free and all that kind of stuff that we can basically heat all the homes in Michigan or run all the homes in Michigan for over 100 years. So I'm all for this plan.
All right, number two, Afghanistan. That will be up next here on our Talk Radio Countdown.
He went without food, not to lose weight, but to help people lose generations of hate. While many around him rose up with violence, he sat down for peace. When others used religion as an excuse for war, he used it to remind them of love. Mahatma Gandhi made the world a far better place by reaching out with the strength he cultivated within his soul. Soul, pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
State Farm, this is Jessica.
Hello, Jessica. Jerry Newman calling. How much could I save by combining auto and home policies?
Well, you could save over $750, but remember you dropped us?
Bummer, because I just combined my auto and home.
Jerry, did you miss the garage again?
The garage door and the front door look so similar.
Save an average of $750 when you bundle your auto and home policies with State Farm. Get to a better state. Call 1-800-STATE-FARM today. Average household savings based on 2010 National Survey of New Policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
As Americans, we must never turn our backs to the men and women serving in our armed forces. We at the Purple Heart know firsthand that there is more to war than bombs and bullets. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation, as combat wounded Purple Heart recipients, are truly veterans helping veterans, their families, and the community. Through your support and donations, the Purple Heart Service Foundation can provide programs that assist our veterans, their widows, and orphans. You can donate vehicles and other household items so the Purple Heart Service Foundation can assist combat wounded wounded and disabled veterans and their families. Call today at 800-293-1343. Your tax-deductible donation also supports programs that help our soldiers returning from Iraq and Afghanistan. That's 800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org. Show your pride in America. The Military Order of the Purple Heart Service Foundation is leading the way for disabled veterans and their families. Call 1-800-293-1343 or purpleheartcars.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We must reduce inventory by end of month, so we're making deals on every floor in every store. If a floor is in stock, it's on sale at our end-of-quarter clearance. Choose from over 60 laminates starting at only 39 cents a square foot. Over 255 pre-finished hardwood floors from just $1.49 a square foot. But you must take possession by March 31st. Plus, take advantage of special extended financing. Get ready. Sale starts this Thursday. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for your local store.
The review of the hot hits in talk radio on the air, up to number two on the countdown, Afghanistan. On MSNBC, Mika Brzezinski and Willie Geist talked to Richard Haas, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, about comments from Senators McCain, Graham, and Lieberman that we basically need to continue our presence in Afghanistan.
We're going to move on to the must-read opinion pages. We've got one from the Washington Post that is just for you, Richard. It's on Afghanistan. It's entitled A Route to Success in Afghanistan by John McCain, Joseph Lieberman, and Lindsey Graham. And I bet you are not going to be surprised by this. One line, they say, to sustain this fragile progress, it's critical that President Obama resist the short-sighted calls for additional troop reductions, which would guarantee failure. They go on to write, a key part of this post-2014 U.S. military commitment should be a counterterrorism force that can continue working with our Afghan partners against Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, ensuring that these groups can no longer pose a military threat to Afghanistan, our allies, and us. This agreement could change the narrative in Afghanistan and the region from one of imminent international abandonment to enduring international commitment. These decisions rest with President Obama. We have disagreed with some of his choices regarding the war in Afghanistan, but after all our nation has sacrificed in Afghanistan, we stand ready to do everything in our power to secure the same bipartisan support for this war in its twilight hours as when it began more than a decade ago. I just have a suspicion that they're somewhat alone in their opinion. I've talked to some Republicans on the Hill who say it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I would respectfully disagree with them. I think what they're representing, whether they're alone or not, I actually just think it's not correct. Somehow if we quote-unquote stay the course and keep 68,000 troops there a lot longer, their argument is we're going to have a lot to show for it. We're quote-unquote going to succeed in Afghanistan. But we're not. We're not because of the nature of our Afghan partner, quote-unquote. We're not because Pakistan is going to continue to provide a sanctuary for the Taliban. So no level of U.S. commitment can overcome these local realities. We're kidding ourselves. Now, the answer is not to withdraw completely. And they're right to the extent that we ought to keep a residual force. We ought to do some advising, some training, some counterterrorism. But we can do this with a modest force of maybe 20,000 forces. There's no reason we need to keep this level of troops for as long as they want.
The definition of the success they're talking about, which is one of the arguments about what is success, but the definition would require a permanent presence at a very high level, would it not?
even that I'm not sure would do it, because what we're seeing in Afghanistan is we're wearing out the welcome mat. I think success ought to be to give the Afghans a chance to look after their own defense, mainly that groups like Al-Qaeda cannot set up shop in Afghanistan. We can't define success in terms of what is the nature of Afghanistan. We can simply define success that Afghanistan is not again used by Al-Qaeda as a platform to kill Americans. We need a modest definition of what we can accomplish. If we define success ambitiously, we will fail.
When the history of this war is written, how important will be that early morning hours when the staff sergeant left the base and allegedly killed those civilians?
Not a lot. There'll be a footnote. The larger story will be the United States got ambitious in a part of the world where it should not have, where local culture, local politics, local geography trumped the good intentions and the massive efforts of the United States.
From Countdown affiliate WDEL in Wilmington, Delaware, Alan Laudell talks to columnist Brian Downing about comparisons being made between Afghanistan and Vietnam.
Lest we forget, the U.S. military initially enjoyed considerable success in throwing out the Taliban and Al-Qaeda from Afghanistan in late 2001, but then came the war in Iraq and special ops units, intelligence outfits, and other technical operations were shifted to Iraq. Warlords and bandits plundered Afghanistan, a corrupt central government in Kabul alienated many Afghans. The U.S. responded first with tremendous firepower, then again attempted counterinsurgency.
I think we've learned from Afghanistan that we really need to have a government on the ground that is capable and not corrupt. We have not had that in Afghanistan. We've had a very corrupt and competent government. Furthermore, the insurgents have had safe havens in Pakistan. And if you have those two things, a corrupt government and safe haven, it's pretty close to strike two.
Well, of course, Vietnam War, with which you are so intimately familiar, obviously, there were safe havens in Cambodia and Laos, and we probably learned some things about counterinsurgency there, but at least South Vietnamese forces were not shooting us in the backs.
Correct. I think over the years there's been kind of a caricature of the South Vietnamese army. It was by no means an especially competent one, but it wasn't nearly as bad as you might get the impression from, say, Full Metal Jacket, you know, Arvin rifles never fired, only dropped once.
And they managed to stay in power until we cut off the funding, but it seems like Kabul and Karzai, the days might be numbered when we exited the country if we don't do it right.
Yeah, you know, late in the Vietnam War, I asked a Green Beret captain how long South Vietnam would last after we left, and he said 2 years. He was 5 weeks off. I don't think Afghanistan would last that long. The only option would be to withdraw to the north, where I believe the U.S. is actually fairly well received. Remember that the insurgency is based in the south with the Pashtun. They like us, not love us. They're ticked off about the Koran burnings.
Just to be clear, though, we are using counterinsurgency with varying degrees of success in a number of other countries even now.
Correct. We're using it in Yemen. We're avoiding the introduction of a large number of U.S. troops and engineers and consultants and AIP personnel. It's also going on in the Philippines, Mali, Somalia, Uganda, probably at least a dozen people officially and unofficially. So we really have to learn from Afghanistan.
Here's radio host Tom Tangney talking to military analyst Mike Lyons about Staff Sergeant Robert Bales. The comments from his lawyer that the government is using Bales as a scapegoat.
This from an anonymous government official. Joint Base Lewis McChord, Army Staff Sergeant Robert Bales, allegedly got back to his post and told his comrades that he had shot several Afghan men. Didn't mention a dozen women and children being among the victims. Now that, we don't know whether that's true, but that would seem to contradict what we're hearing from the defense attorney, John Henry Brown, who says Bales doesn't remember anything that happened that night. So we had the lawyer, Brown, meeting with Bales and saying that the government is trying to make his client a scapegoat here. Why would the government be spinning us?
Yeah, I don't think the government is. In fact, you have a defense attorney that's a little bit further out ahead of the government at this point. What is happening is Article 32 investigations taking place where they're going through all the facts and trying to determine the exact charges against Sergeant Bales. And that just takes time. The fact that it happened in Afghanistan compounds the problem. All the witnesses are over there. So it's just that the government is just not reacting in some ways, or they're keeping their cards close to the vest until they can formally charge him.
Well, they're keeping their cards officially close to the vest, but it seems like unofficially we keep getting leaks like this from the government, prompting the defense attorney to say, you know, the government wants to manipulate us. What do you make of that charge?
Well, I think that, you know, again, with all the different people and components of the government, if we call that the military, let's say, you know, that one or two things come out and you're talking to a lot of different folks in this age of viral information, I think what ends up happening is things get exacerbated and get somewhat exaggerated. So, like, for example, we saw last night where the Afghan civilians say that it was a retribution attack. These things get spun a certain way. And again, I just don't think there's been one point person from government that's given any official word, because from the government's position, this investigation still continues.
So what does that leave us? It leaves us with number one, the presidential race from the GOP side, up next here on The Countdown.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down? Introducing the original Biomat. The Biomat is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomat can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomat comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
So number one this week on the countdown, not a strange item. Here's talk host Ray Appleton with Tim Mack from Politico.com about Mitt Romney's win in Illinois and how that shapes the race as it moves to Louisiana this weekend.
Hey, any surprises for you in Illinois at all?
Yeah, I think the thing that a lot of people were looking at in Illinois was not whether Mitt Romney would win, but whether or not he would win by two digits, and he did. So he won by about 12 points, which is, I think, something that is a relief to the Romney campaign, which has set expectations high in the past and has found themselves kind of, you know, reaching for a response or explanation the day after primary. Today, they don't have to do that.
In the exit polls, Romney got the majority of the Tea Party vote. That really probably took the wind out of the sails of Rick Santorum.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Rick Santorum struggled to kind of break out of his usual base among working-class voters, but Romney did very well among them as well. In a state like Illinois, he was kind of favored to do well across the board.
You know, I have to ask the same old question we've been asking for weeks. Pretty good victory for Romney. He's almost like halfway there. In your opinion, is it time for a couple of other guys to maybe take a powder and check out for a little bit?
Well, I mean, really not my place to say whether they should or shouldn't, but I will say that it looks it's difficult to see why they would. I mean, what is the incentive for these people to drop out and make themselves kind of irrelevant to the calculus as things move forward? If they charge ahead, they can kind of make their mark on this race. With the funding and campaign finance the way it is, there's really no incentive for them to drop out.
What kind of a mark do you think they're going to make? Let's say a Ron Paul.
Yeah, I mean, there is going to be a time if Mitt Romney doesn't secure a majority of delegates that they start negotiating with Mitt Romney as to what Romney can do to secure their support. It may be a bit early to speculate as to what favors may be exchanged or what promises will be made, but this is all about influence, and if it's about influence, then they want to maximize their ability to make a mark on the race.
Ron Paul was on television yesterday talking about his plan. His plan is to ensure that it's a brokered convention. I think the chances of that are pretty slim, don't you?
I certainly think so, especially as we look ahead and see Mitt Romney steadily marching towards about 50% of the delegates. If he gets a majority of the delegates, we can rule that possibility out entirely.
Here are our hosts Sean Anderson and Hillary Howard talking to political analyst Howard Fineman about Jeb Bush coming forward to endorse Mitt Romney.
Let's first start with this Jeb Bush endorsement. You know, it's not exactly like he had this big show in Florida to say, hey, I love Mitt. It was done in an email, basically, right?
Doesn't matter.
Uh-huh.
That was big. That was the Bush family speaking. Until now, it's been Poppy Bush, that is 41, and his wife. But the fact that Jeb Bush did it, the fact that he was a popular governor of Florida, and the fact that he was somebody who some insiders were pining away for as a late entrant in the campaign, makes it very important for Mitt Romney. And the timing of it is significant because it's at the time when a lot of these insiders who are nervous about Mitt Romney are saying, okay, let's go with this guy, let's wrap it up.
So it's like you have a seesaw, and all of a sudden it's gone the other direction. It's kind of reached that tipping point.
Certainly I think with the insiders. That's what the Jeb Bush thing means. That doesn't mean that Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul are going to roll up their campaigns and leave. They're not, because they've still got campaigning to do, and I think Santorum may still win some primaries.
Now, Romney was going after Obama in his acceptance speech. Is this the best strategy for him at this point, to ignore his Republican rivals?
Well, he's ignored them. He ignores them personally, but the allied super PACs carpet bomb all of his foes. So it's a little bit of a double game that he's been playing all the way along. Mitt Romney, of course, wants to talk about the president, wants to assume that there's no primary season. And also, because Mitt Romney is kind of suspect ideologically with the conservative base of the party, he tries to improve his street cred with them with the strength and nastiness of his attacks on the president. So that's why Mitt Romney's been doing that all the way along, except he has to pause now and again on the trail to go after his pesky rivals, including Rick Santorum, who he attacked by name in Illinois.
Quickly, Howard, you mentioned Santorum's probably going to pick up a couple of other primaries. Is Romney going to have to make peace with him?
Oh, of course. I think ultimately, absolutely so. Santorum may win Louisiana. It's going to be a close race in Wisconsin. It's a slow grinding process for Romney, but part of it is the diplomacy of putting the party together, and he's going to need Rick Santorum for sure to be able to do that.
So that's it, the GOP race number one, our most talked about topic this week. Recapping, the Saints Bounty program is number 10. Number 9 is Tim Tebow and his trade. Number 8, the passwords that people want from your Facebook page. Number 7 is Iran. Number 6, the new GOP budget plan. Number 5, the school shootings in France. Number 4, the Stand Your Ground shooting. Number 3, rising gas prices. Number 2, Afghanistan. And number 1, the GOP primary season. That's the way it shapes up this hour at the Talk Radio Countdown.